The Boston Red Sox have brought in Anthony Rizzo to replace Tristan Casas at first place. Is the problem solved? Let's talk about it. Yes, welcome into another episode of First Pitch, your daily source of baseball talk here on the Inside Baseball Network. I'm your host, Troy Brock. You can follow me on Twitter at TroyBBaseball. Drew could not join me today, so I will be riding solo, and we hope to have Drew back on board tomorrow. And we're going to get to the Anthony Rizzo signing by the Boston Red Sox. We're going to get to yesterday's games. We're going to look ahead to today's games. But first, if you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. Turn on the notification icon so you can be notified when another episode goes live. If you're listening on audio, leave us a five-star rating, share the show with your friends, send them to firstpitchpodcast.com so they can get their daily source of baseball talk. And we had 16 games scheduled for yesterday, and one got postponed, so only 15 were played. 15 were played, and there was a lot of extra innings in yesterday's ball game. Let's see, there's three extra innings games in yesterday's slate, and it was just a good slate all around. Reds and the Braves delivered as expected. Braves won 2-1. That was one of the games that went to extras. Raisel Iglesias got the win. He's 2-2 with a 4.50 ERA. Braves move to 17-18. Reds fall to 18-19. Marlins hosting the Dodgers. That game went to extras, and the Marlins won 5-4. Marlins are now 14-21. Dodgers fall to 24-12. Rangers at the Red Sox. Rangers won 6-1 to move to 18-18. Red Sox fall to 18-19. Nathan Eovaldi gets the win, 3-2, 2.03 ERA. And Lucas Giolito took the L, 0-1 with an 8.38 ERA. Philadelphia Phillies at the Tampa Bay Rays down there in the minor league ballpark at George Steinbrenner Field. Phillies won 8-4. They are now 20-15. Rays fall to 16-19. Zach Wheeler got the W, 3-1, 3.35 ERA. Drew Rasmussen got the loss, 1-3, 3.09 ERA. Again, cannot watch that game or any games in this series because apparently 8 hours is too close to Tampa Bay for me to be allowed to watch games that the Tampa Bay Rays are a part of. Yankees hosting the Padres. The Yankees won 12-3. They are now 20-16. Padres fall to 23-12. Excuse me. Padres held a 3-2 lead going into the bottom of the seventh, and then the Yankees scored 10. So, you know, that'll do it. Giants at the Cubs. Giants won this one 14-5. They are now 23-14. Cubs fall to 22-15. The Giants scored 9 runs in the 11th inning. This game went to extras, tied at 5, no runs scored in the 10th. The Giants scored 9 in the 11th. So, again, that'll do it. Orioles at the Twins. Twins won 9-1. They are now 16-20. Orioles fall to 13-21. Pablo Lopez got the win, 3-2 with a 2.18 ERA, and Cade Povich took the L, 1-3 with a 5.55 ERA. White Sox at the Royals. Kansas City Royals won that one 4-3. They are now 21-16. White Sox fall to 10-26. excuse me. Astros at the Brewers. Going to be a lot of that today. Going solo. Got to talk a lot. Astros at the Brewers. Brewers win 4-3. They are now 19-18. Astros fall to 17-18. Hayden Wisniewski took the L for the Astros, 1-3 with a 4.50 ERA. And the Astros did place Yordan Alvarez on the injured list yesterday, so they are hoping that he comes back soon. And it's really been a run of bad luck for Yordan. I wrote about that earlier for Sports Illustrated, and that should come out at some point today. Pirates at the Cardinals. Cardinals won 2-1. They are now 18-19. Pirates fall to 12-25. Liberatore got the win, 3-3 with a 3.07 ERA, and Skeens took the loss, 3-4 with a 2.77 ERA. Looks like he gave up the 2 runs the Cardinals scored in the 6th. And then Graceffo got his first save of the year. Blue Jays at the Angels. Angels won that one 8-3. They are now 14-20. Blue Jays fall to 16-19. Hector Neris got the win. He is 1-1 with a 27 even ERA. Yaimi Garcia took the L, 0-2, 4.20 ERA. Diamondbacks hosting the Mets. Diamondbacks win 5-1. They are now 19-17. Mets fall to 23-14. Zach Allen got the win, 3-4, lowered his ERA below 5. It's now at 4.37. David Peterson took the L, 2-2 with a 3.52 ERA. Mariners at the Athletics. Mariners won 5-3. They are now 21-14. Athletics fall to 20-17. And then the doubleheader on the day yesterday, Guardians at the Nationals. The teams split that doubleheader. Nationals won the first one 10-9. Guardians won the second one 9-1. Guardians scored 9 runs in both games. Nationals scored 10 in the first and 1 in the second. So after both games, Guardians are now 21-15. Nationals are 17-20. Kyle Finnett again did get his 12th save of the year in that first game. And then the Tigers at the Rockies was postponed. They will make that game up on today's Wednesday. So Thursday, not today. They will make that game up on Thursday. But that was the slate of games for yesterday. Good slate of games. And we've got some more good games to come today. But we won't get to those a little bit later in the show because we have to talk about first the Boston Red Sox finding their man, maybe. They signed Anthony Rizzo after Tristan Casas was injured, ruptured his patella in, I think it was last week. And they really haven't had a viable option at first base. Anthony Rizzo has still been sitting there in free agency. He is no longer a free agent as the Boston Red Sox have now signed him. It's an interesting signing. Because, well, he's old, he's 35, and he really hasn't been that great over the last 2 years. And over the last 2 years, playing at a pretty small ballpark as a left-handed hitter, a ballpark that favors left-handed hitters of Yankee Stadium, he has an OPS plus in those 2 years of 88, 20 home runs, which is solid, but it came in 191 games, which is almost one every 10 games, and it came in 796 plate appearances. So it was, the home runs did not come very often. 12 in 2023, 8 in 2024. He's really just regressed year over year. 2022, he had an 817 OPS with a 130 OPS plus. 2023, 706 OPS with a 94 OPS plus. And then last year, 637 OPS with an 82 OPS plus. He's probably going to have to take some time to get ramped up to game form because he hasn't played in a game. He's been a free agent. And so he's going to need some time to get back to game speed, of course. But, you know, what is also interesting about this signing is that across his career, he hasn't played at Fenway much, but when he has played at Fenway, he hasn't been good. Because if you look at his numbers at Fenway, he's only had 98 plate appearances, so it is a small sample size. But at the same time, that small sample size has produced a 641 OPS at Fenway Park with only one home run. And, you know, Fenway, of course, is good for right-handed hitters because of the Green Monster, but at the same time, it's also pretty good for left-handed hitters because they have that very, very, very short porch in right field where a line drive 6 feet off the ground is going to be a home run if it's hit far enough. And so he just has not been able to produce in his 23 games at Fenway Park. He's going to get a much larger sample size this year of games at Fenway Park, and we'll be able to see, you know, what he is capable of at Fenway Park this year. So it's an interesting signing defensively. You know, he at times he was one of the best defensive first basemen in baseball. And I'm looking up now. I should have had this pulled up already, but I didn't think about it until I brought it up. Because I do think he has won gold gloves in his career. Yeah, he's a 4-time gold glove winner. And, you know, even last year, he was worth one out above average at first base. And I guess the good news is, with him playing at Fenway, all of his home runs last year came to right field and right center field. So maybe he can see some of that success this year at Fenway Park. And looking back also throughout his spray charts and his fielding on his Baseball Savant page, in 2023, he was worth 5 outs above average at first base. And then also in 2023, all of his 12 home runs were to right center and right field. He has not hit a home run straight to straightaway center or to left center or even left field since 2022. And so all of his home runs over the past two seasons have come to right field and right center field. And that's going to be huge for him at Fenway Park because of that short porch. And, you know, he's going to have to get back to barreling the ball and getting those hard hit balls and pulling the ball, which he was not able to do in 2024. I mean, if you're looking at his Baseball Savant page, there's a lot of blue. And then in 2023, there's still a lot of blue, but there's some more red. And in 2022, there's a lot of red and not as much blue. So it's been a gradual regression for Rizzo over the past couple of years. And while it could work out for the Red Sox, I don't know if that is necessarily a gamble that they're going to be, that's going to pay off for them, because right now they're 18-19. But they are in second place in the American League East. And if you look at the wild card standings, their 18-19 record has them 2 games back of the third wild card spot, which is currently held by the Athletics, no less. But it's just it's a big gamble bringing in Rizzo because of how much he has regressed. And, you know, hopefully you can, for the Red Sox, they can get the defense out of him that he's shown throughout his career, the Gold Glove caliber defense. Again, 4-time Gold Glover, 3-time All-Star, Silver Slugger. He won a Platinum Glove before in his career. So, but he hasn't won a Gold Glove since 2020. But, you know, it would be nice for the Red Sox. It would be very beneficial for them if he could return to that Gold Glove caliber form at first base, because they could certainly use the defense. I mean, they already have a Gold Glover in third baseman, Alex Bregman. Trevor Story is pretty solid defensively. I'm not sure how Christian Campbell is defensively. I can actually look that up too now. But Anthony Rizzo would, adding him to the mix, and yeah, Christian Campbell has negative outs above average. He's played center, left, and second base. Campbell has, and he has -1 outs above average at second base. But again, Anthony Rizzo could be a good piece defensively at the very least, even if he's not really serviceable at the plate. And another thing that Rizzo brings to the table is he's a very, very good leader, a very good vocal leader. And while Bregman and Story are, of course, veterans, the Boston Red Sox really don't have a leader, because Trevor Story is a quiet guy. You don't hear much from or about Trevor Story unless he's injured. And he's just a very quiet guy. And then Alex Bregman really isn't a leader. I mean, he's a veteran, and he's had a solid career to this point, and he is one of the best hitters on the team this year. But he's never really been looked at as a leader. And a lot of that comes from during his time with Houston. They've had Jose Altuve the whole time he was there. And Jose Altuve is the leader of that locker room, unquestionably. And so maybe Alex Bregman is more of a leader now with the Red Sox. It's really hard to tell, again, from somebody covering the sport at a national level. I don't see everything. I have not watched a single Red Sox game this year, to be completely honest. And maybe Alex Bregman is more of a leader this year than he ever has been before in his career. But I'm not sure about that. But that is something that I know that Anthony Rizzo can be. Anthony Rizzo has been a leader for his entire career. He was the leader of the Cubs. Like, he was the locker room leader of the Chicago Cubs throughout his tenure with the team. And, you know, while as part of that core four that they had, you know, Rizzo, Bryant, Baez, and Schwarber, Rizzo was the leader of that group. And he was one of the leaders in the Yankees clubhouse when he was with the Yankees over the past few years. He wasn't the number one leader, of course, that's Aaron Judge, but he was a leader in that clubhouse. And Anthony Rizzo has the experience of being a leader, and that could be very beneficial for the Boston Red Sox. And it sucks that Tristan Casas is hurt, because Casas is a great dude. And I've told y'all this a couple times, but I have been slowly making my way through the Boston Red Sox documentary. And I know I'm very late to the ballgame on this, but I do only have two episodes left. And watching that documentary has brought me to having a new respect for a lot of these players that were on the Red Sox last year. Like, Tyler O'Neill is just a good dude. And, you know, I as a player, I'm not crazy about Tyler O'Neill just because of how injury prone he is. And y'all know how I feel about players who are injury prone, but he's a great dude. You know, he's a good dad. I love the fact that he has his own track man and sets up a batting cage and tracks everything with a track man. I love that about Tyler O'Neill. And then Tristan Casas is another dude who this show has just made me absolutely fall in love with. And he's now, he and Jarren Duran are two of my favorite players on the Boston Red Sox, if I had to choose some. And it's just like the scene, if you've watched it, there's a scene early in the show where Jarren Duran, after a ball game in Boston, goes out to his vehicle and his vehicle won't start. And he's got an old Bronco that he's driving around, and he's trying to figure out why it won't start. And he's on the phone with his dad and trying to mess with all kinds of stuff. And Tristan Casas goes out there and just, you know, standing with him, hanging there with him while he's working on it. So he's not there by himself. And because Casas is a good dude, but it was funny because while Duran was talking to his dad on the phone, trying to figure out what to do to get it to start, Casas is sitting there with a camera on him. And he goes, "We pay professionals for this. We're not made to do this." And just the way he said it, it was just so dry and it was just so funny. And it just, it tickled me beyond belief. And it's just that, and just his mindset. Like, he said in the show, he knows he's not the player. He knows he's not a great player, but he's going to do his best and he's going to give it everything he's got. And you've seen that throughout his career. And it's really made me, it's really brought me to a new respect, excuse me, for Tristan Casas. But they still the Red Sox still haven't had that leader in the clubhouse. And even on the show, even in that documentary, they said that last year they don't have that leader. And that includes having Rafael Devers in the clubhouse. And, you know, you really can't look at Rafael Devers as a leader because of the actions that he's done and what he said on and off the field. You can't look at Rafael Devers as a leader because that's just not a guy who you want to be leading your young core and your young team of players, especially when you have Christian Campbell already on the roster. Roman Anthony is going to be on the roster at some point. Marcelo Meyer is going to be on the roster at some point. You don't want Rafael Devers to be the player on the team who these guys look up to and who to behave like as they progress through their major league career, especially, you know, after over the offseason, the whole third base debacle. And it's Anthony Rizzo is a guy you want your players, your young guys to look up to and model their career after on and off the field, because he is a consummate professional. And it's while Rizzo might not be at the same level of production at the plate that he has been during his peak or during his earlier, excuse me, that one came out of nowhere, earlier years in his career, he can still be that leader and he can still be a strong voice in the clubhouse in what could be his final year in Major League Baseball. But, you know, all in all, there's good and there's bad. You got to take the good with the bad. If you keep up with my Twitter, again, Troy B. Baseball, you got to take the good with the bad. And there's good and there's bad with Anthony Rizzo. But I think the biggest couple of things that the Red Sox have found in signing Anthony Rizzo is that he's a solid defensive first baseman, and he's going to be a good leader in that clubhouse. And all in all, I think it is a good signing, and I think it's going to work out well for the Boston Red Sox. Real quick, I do want to point out that this has nothing to do with baseball, by the way, but we record these episodes on the morning of the day that they go out. And earlier this morning, news broke that the Pittsburgh Steelers are sending George Pickens to the Dallas Cowboys. And it just happened to be the day that my Dallas Cowboys Creed Greatest Halftime Show Ever shirt was next in my T-shirt rotation. So I thought that was funny. Just wanted to point that out. George Pickens going to the Dallas Cowboys. A solid 1-2 punch down there in Dallas at receiver, you know, with Dez Bryant and now George Pickens. Not Dez Bryant. Wow. God, I'm old. CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens. But be a lot better if they had a halfway decent quarterback throwing to him. But it's not a football podcast. It's a baseball podcast. And we've got a lot of baseball games on tap today. Full slate, 15 games. And we've got some day games, we've got some night games, we've got some all-around games, and we're going to look at those now. The first game of the day, 12:05 p.m. Eastern, Guardians at the Nationals, Allen at Soroka. Guardians look to move to 22-15, Nationals look to move to 18-20. 1:10 p.m. Eastern, Astros at the Brewers, Framber Valdez at Quinn Priester. Astros look to move to 18-18, Brewers look to move to 20-18. 5 minutes later, 1:15 p.m. Eastern, Pirates at the Cardinals. Mitch Keller at Sonny Gray. Pirates look to move to 13-25. Cardinals look to move to 19-19. Hour and 5 minutes later, Giants at the Cubs. Robbie Ray at Ben Brown. Giants look to move to 24-14. Cubs look to move to 23-15. Hour 15 later, 3:35 p.m. Eastern, Mariners at the Athletics. Brian Wu at Hoglin. Brian Wu wrote about this the other day, but he's quite possibly the Mariners' best pitcher. If you actually dive into things, he's just had some injury issues over the past couple of years. But a full season this year would show that Brian Wu is the Mariners' best pitcher. Mariners look to move to 22-14. Athletics look to move to 21-17. 5 minutes later, Mets at the Diamondbacks. Kodai Senga at Merrill Kelly. Mets look to move to 24-14. Diamondbacks look to move to 20-17. Senga looks to improve on his 3-2 record and 1.38 ERA. And Merrill Kelly left his start against the Phillies early last week with back issues, I think it was. So keep an eye on that one. An hour later, 4:40 p.m. Eastern, Dodgers at the Marlins. Dodgers throwing TBD. Miami throwing Belozo. Dodgers look to move to 25-12. Marlins look to move to 15-21. 2 hours and 5 minutes later, Rangers at the Red Sox. Rangers throwing Tyler Molly. Red Sox throwing Tanner Houck. Rangers look to move to 19-18. Red Sox look to move to 19-19. 20 minutes later, 7:05 p.m. Eastern, Phillies at the Rays. Christopher Sanchez at Shane Baz. Very good pitching matchup in this one. Phillies look to move to 21-15. Rays look to move to 17-19. Also at 7:05 p.m. Eastern, Padres at the Yankees. Dylan Cease at Max Fried. Ignore Cease's ERA. This is also a very good pitching matchup. Padres look to move to 24-12. Yankees look to move to 21-16. 10 minutes after that, 7:15 p.m. Eastern, Reds at the Braves. Another good pitching matchup. Hunter Green on the mound for the Reds. Grant Holmes on the mound for the Braves. Reds look to move to 19-19. Braves look to move to 18-18. 25 minutes later, 7:40 p.m. Eastern, Orioles at the Twins. Charlie Morton at Simeon Woods Richardson. Not a good pitching matchup. Orioles look to move to 14-21. Twins look to move to 17-20. Also at 7:40 p.m. Eastern, White Sox at the Royals. Cannon at Michael Waka Waka Waka. White Sox look to move to 11-26. Royals look to move to 22-16. Hour later, 8:40 p.m. Eastern, Tigers at the Rockies, Jackson Jobe at Chase Dollander. Tigers look to move to 23-13. Rockies look to move to 7-28. They're so bad. 58 minutes later, 9:38 p.m. Eastern, Toronto Blue Jays at Los Angeles Angels, the nightcap, Jose Berrios at Yusei Kikuchi. I say another word. Blue Jays look to move to 17-19. Angels look to move to 15-20. That is your slate of ball games for today, and that is going to do it for us here on First Pitch Podcast. So if you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, turn on the notification icon so you can be notified when another episode goes live. If you're listening on audio, leave us a 5-star rating, share the show with your friends, send them to firstpitchpodcast.com so they can get their daily source of baseball talk. Again, you can find me on Twitter at TroyBBaseball. And until next time, this has been First Pitch.